Genesis chapter 3, where we are tonight. Chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. For the preaching and teaching of God's Word. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of the every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto her, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave unto her husband with her. He did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened. And they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? He said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, that woman you gave me, she gave me of the tree. And I did eat. And the Lord God said to the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me. And I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. And upon thy belly thou shalt go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Let's pray together. Father, bless the reading of your word. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. Help me to be a blessing. We love you. Thank you for being God. And thank you for sending that baby who has changed everything. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. We finished last week with God's establishing the home. He created the world. Created a man. Put that man in the world. Placed him in a garden, gave him work to do, and he was busy doing what he was told. Fell asleep in the middle of doing what God said do. God created the woman, made the woman, and brought the woman to him, and introduced the woman as his wife. God was instituting the home. By the way, three institutions in our world today, the home of the family, the government, and the church. There are three institutions, all that God instituted, and each of them functions in a different manner. But I will say to you that the first institution that God established was the home, and I don't care how good of a government you try to have, and how great a church as you try to establish, if you've got bad homes, you're going to have bad everything else. The single most important unit in the world today is the family, is the home. And no question in my mind, that is why the most severe attacks that are being launched by the kingdom of the devil today are launched on the home. You cannot have good churches without good families. You can't have good government without good families. And that's why at the onset of creation, at the onset of time, God established not just any home. And by the way, a lot of people have a house, but they don't have a home. God established the family. By the way, this Christmas season, if there's anything we ought to be excited about, we ought to enjoy, and as a matter of fact, at the end of the year, in the beginning of a new year, we ought to resolve to do more of, to be better at, to invest more into, that is our families. So we finish chapter 2, and God establishes this home with this instituted wholeness called marriage, with a united flesh of undivided friendship and unashamed function. This is Adam and Eve in the garden alone. The Bible points out naked, without shame, understanding that he belonged to her, she belonged to him. There was no embarrassment. She was his wife, he was her husband, and they had been established by Almighty God. The best way to not be ashamed of doing something with someone of the opposite sex is to make sure that that person is your wife and your husband. Amen. In chapter number 3, I've entitled this segment, The Fall of Man. Right after God has established the family, it's under attack. Not centuries later, not weeks later, not months later, not chapters later, not verses later. On the very next verse after the home is what God made it to be, the home is under attack. And from Genesis 3:1 up until December the 21st, 2016, the family has been under attack. Taking notes tonight, write down the illustrious serpent. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. This was an illustrious animal, this serpent. There was an obvious smartness about the serpent, yet there was an obscured subtlety about the serpent. The serpent in himself was a very smart creature. And by the way, the Bible doesn't say snake, it doesn't say rep. We just know it was a serpent, and in these days, before we know the world as it is today, we don't know if that serpent flew. It's obvious that that serpent talked. It doesn't seem that Eve reacted in a way that she was surprised. So it seems that it was very normal for serpents to talk. The smartest beast in the field is the one that appears in Genesis 3:1. But there's not only an illustrious serpent, there's what I call infamous Satan. If you don't know who he is, turn it over to Isaiah chapter 14. And let me begin explaining who he is by explaining who he was. Isaiah chapter 14. This is where the Bible depicts for us through the prophet Isaiah, the fall of Satan. Isaiah doesn't date this, but we can presume from scripture that this fall happens before Genesis 3. Obviously, Satan is called Lucifer. He is the choice angel in Isaiah 14. Colossians chapter 1 says, all things were created by God, principalities and powers. So we understand that not only did God create the world, he created the angels. Somebody say amen. And of the angels that he created, there was no greater angel created, was no more beautiful angel created than that choice angel, Lucifer, who serves today as the devil. Verse 12, how art thou fallen from heaven? That's where he was. Oh, Lucifer, listen how he's described, son of the morning, how thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations. How'd you get how you are, Lucifer? I'll tell you. You said in thine heart, I will ascend unto heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. Listen to me. The sin that started it all was pride. At the middle of pride is the letter I. And any I-focused life gets its roots from the devil. So here we find Satan, the scene in heaven, before Genesis 3 ever comes along. Many believe that it's even before Genesis 1. Some believe it's after Genesis, a couple verses in Genesis that Satan falls, and that's when the earth is chaotic. I don't really want to pull hairs about it. I just want to let you know that this devil that shows up in Genesis chapter 3 is on earth making trouble, because he was already in heaven making trouble there too. That's what I want to tell you. In Genesis 3:1, I want to tell you how schematic Satan is. That not only does he choose to take over the control of an animal, but he chooses to use the smartest, most slick animal to control. See, before the devil even tempted man, he used the choicest instruments to do so. I'm just trying to get you to learn, ladies and gentlemen, that the devil is not a dummy. Not only is he not dumb, but he goes looking for smart things to use. Come on now. He picks the most illustrious beast in all of them. Listen, the serpent was smart and the serpent was subtle, and the smart, more subtle Satan used the serpent. He's the premier adversary of God with a purposeful agenda. Listen to me. Remember, he was kicked out of heaven, cast down to earth. Revelation tells us he drew with him one third of the angels, one third of the stars. So the Bible tells us in the book of Revelation that the number of angels that God created is a number that man can't count. Okay. Even with the help of calculators. So the number of angels that God created is more than man can count. The devil drew with him one third of a number that's more than man can count. And we can deduce with a pretty elementary deduction that if the number of angels is a number we can't count, then one third of that number is still a number we can't count. I'm trying to tell you, there's a lot of demons running around. Here he is, the enemy of God. He tried to beat God and lost. So his next stop is God's choicest creation. He's upset. Because when he was kicked out of heaven, his fate was sealed. And the only thing, the next best thing to getting your fate changed is bringing people down with you. Do you understand something? Listen to me. Hear me now. The devil is a loser. Just got a call from a dear friend today. Tell me about another pastor. His wife ran off with somebody else and divorced him. He said, resigned from the ministry. All these kind of things. The devil is busy. He's attacking. I mean, there's stuff happening we can't put our finger on. We can't explain. There are people losing their mind and we can't even figure out where they lost it, if they ever had it. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't get anything out of this message tonight. You better get busy, gentlemen, busy ladies, busy children, doing everything you can in this year to come to defend your home against the devil. And here's this agenda. So he's calculated. This premier adversary has a purposeful agenda. So I want you to notice this illustrious serpent, this infamous Satan, launch his inviting seduction. Are you in Genesis 3:1? Say amen. I want you to look. All scriptures given by inspiration of God. Look at the words in the Bible. How many of you have read a passage over and over again, and maybe the 20th, 30th, 40th time you read it, you saw something you didn't see all those other times? Amen. When Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says the word of God is, come on, Anybody know what that word means? It means alive. It's not dead, it's alive. You know what alive things do? They move. Amen. The Bible is alive. Amen. That means a verse that helped you 10 years ago can help you 10 years later in a whole different way, because it's not a dead book that's lifeless. It's a living book that's moving and always accomplishing its purpose. In Genesis chapter number 2, God introduces to man his covenant name, Jehovah. Genesis chapter 1 and God. Genesis chapter 2 and the Lord God. God's covenant with man is always done through the term Jehovah. He is not only Elohim, meaning he is supreme, but he is Jehovah, meaning he's self-existent. Amen. Thank God that when we need help, he's not a God that needs somebody to help him. He's a God that doesn't need help because he exists by himself. And somebody that doesn't need anybody to help him is the best somebody to help you and me. Amen. But here's what I want you to notice in Genesis 3, that God spent the whole chapter 2 calling himself the Lord God when dealing with his people. Do you notice when he gave them a command, the Bible says the Lord God commanded, Genesis 16, not just the one who is supreme, but the one who self-exists, not just the one who starts it, but the one who completes it, not just the one who is the ultimate God that sits. Some people don't have a problem recognizing that there's a supreme being. Everybody, most people will say, I believe there is a God. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm not saved because I believe in a God. I'm saved because he's not only a God, he's my Lord God. Amen. But notice the devil, when he tempted Eve, he didn't call him Lord God. He called him God. The devil has a problem with the lordship of God. Verse 1 of chapter 3. The serpent was more subtle than any beast which the who? Come on, look at your Bible. Which who? The Lord God made. And he said to the woman, yea, hath. You think that's by accident? The Lord God said. By the way, Lord, Jehovah. One of the most comforting names of Jehovah is Jehovah Jireh. Our provider. And when the devil comes along to tempt Eve, guess what he's saying? He's not your provider. He's just a supreme God. So since he ain't going to take care of you, girl, you better take care of yourself. And God said. So this seduction of Satan involves several things that I want you to notice tonight. Number one, sown doubt. When I'm talking about sown, he put the seed of doubt in her mind. Amen. And he put the seed of doubt in her mind before he ever offered her anything by omitting the title of the God who was taking care of her. Didn't you see how slick he is? He hadn't even talked about fruit yet. He's just calling the Lord God, God. Amen. And by the way, the book of Corinthians tells us, you can't call him Lord except by the Holy Ghost. And by the way, you flip to the New Testament and you'll find out that not only did the devil not want to call Jesus Lord, but those that he uses can't call him Lord. And that's why when Jesus went around the table at the Last Supper asking the disciples which one of them was going to betray him, all of them said, Lord, is it I? But the one that the devil had entered by the name of Judas Iscariot, he didn't say, Lord, is it I? He said, Master, is it I? Listen to me. A heathen can call him God, but only a redeemed child of God can call him Lord. I'm glad he's my Lord. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Have God said? I'm getting to the message. James talked about faith. This popped in my head. James chapter 2 talks about faith. He uses three kinds of faith. Dynamic faith is faith in action. Amen. Faith without works is. Dynamic faith is faith in action. Faith with no action is dead faith. But in between his introduction to us of dynamic faith and dead faith, he also introduces to us devilish faith. The devils also believe and tremble. Okay, the Bible never said the devils believe there is no God. The Bible said the fool said in his heart there is no God. I mean, when you start being an atheist, you have stooped below even the level of Satan. You're just crazy. Okay? I mean, it's bad enough to be evil. It's worse to be evil and crazy. The fool has said in his heart there is. He didn't even say the fool believes it. He said the fool says it. And the fool says things that he doesn't even believe, because that's what foolishness will get you doing. Talking in a way you can't even agree with yourself. Amen. I heard a story about one atheist was standing up on the, agnostic or atheist, standing up on a soapbox out in the middle of the busy area and said, "There is no God. There is no absolute truth. There is no absolute truth. Absolutely, there is no truth." And somebody said, "Are you absolutely sure about that?" And he said, So listen to me. You got to be crazy to deny God. The devil didn't deny God. He just denied that he was Lord. Sown doubt. Oh yeah. We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. You shall not eat of every tree. Sown doubt. Write this down. Sly distortion. He's distorting the truth. And he got her agreeing to it. Listen to the question. Yea, hath God, wrong term, said, ye shall not eat of every tree in the garden? But the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God, she calling him God instead of Lord too. Can I tell you something, Christian? I know I'm all off the message tonight. Lord, help me. One of the most discouraging things for me as a pastor is listening to saved people borrow the vernacular of Satan. Okay, I mean, it's bad enough the devil talks crazy, but you shouldn't be getting your lines and your script from Satan. I mean, the world says alcoholism. The Bible says drunkard. Amen. The world says alternative. The Bible says abomination. The world says a woman's choice. God says murder. We got to be careful when we are using the devil's terms to describe things that God has already given us terminology on. Hey, the first thing she should have done when the devil said, yea, hath God said, she should say, excuse me, Mr. Serpent, he's the Lord God. The first step towards temptation is listening to nonsense. Amen. I bet there's a rack of Christians. Look at there, a rack of. There's a rack of Christians in the building tonight who have been tooting their gospel horn. I don't do this. I don't do that. I don't hang here. I don't go there. Yeah, you keep saying that in 2016. And we'll give you about 6 months of listening to people that do this and that. And before long, you'll tuck your horn away and you'll say, well, I don't know why I was so blind all those years. It's really not that bad. Amen. Everybody want to say they stirred the mixing bowl when the cake tastes good. When it's nasty. Oh, no, I didn't make it. Everybody wants to get in on something. Sly distortion. This is how the devil's destroying our homes. He begins by changing the terminology. He's not the Lord God. He's just God. Oh, yeah, that's right. He's God. Here's what he's got Eve thinking. God is gypping us. I mean, you shall not eat of every tree. Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree in the garden? I mean, can't you eat everything? I mean, this is your garden. You know, it's almost like the devil is saying, y'all the one keeping it. I mean, your husband naming all the animals. You're the only ones here. He's supposed to be this great God. Why is he putting restrictions on you? The devil is the quintessential restriction colorer. Listen to what I'm saying. The devil is good at making you think that the rules of Almighty God are to your detriment and not for your protection. And by the way, while I'm thinking about it, even the rules that the church has for you are for your protection. That's for free. Rules aren't to hurt you. Rules are to help you. I don't like rules. Would you like to drive on the highway with no speed limit? Amen. Every once in a while, Christian people say, I don't understand standards. Why can people have to tell us what to wear? Well, let's just all come to church naked. How much do you think that'd be good? We've got to have some kind of standards. Otherwise, you're going to leave the wayward mind that depends on the erroneous flesh to figure it out himself. Listen to me. God, at the beginning of the Bible, wanted man to know that it's not just the beginning of time, not just the beginning of the world, not just the beginning of man, but it's also the beginning of rules. They're good for you. Everybody come to work whenever you want. And leave when you want. And do what you want. You want a lunch break? Stay out as long as you want. What kind of job you work at? God is ripping you off, Eve. Why can't you have every tree? Here's the devil. Putting the light on what God won't let us do instead of praising God for what he does let us do. That's distortion. He goes from doubt, sown doubt, sly distortion, to straightforward denial. The devil, he's working himself up. That's do you remember that illustration with the frog? You take the frog, you throw the frog in hot water. He jumps right out of the water because he knows that water is going to kill him. You put the frog in cold water. And you slightly turn up the temperature a little bit at a time and you kill the frog before he even knows he's dead because the temperature is turning up just ever so slightly that he can't even tell it's killing him. And that's what the devil's doing through media, through television, through Hollywood, through politics. Somebody say amen. And we're sitting here like dumb frogs. And by the time we figure it out, we're like this. And everybody around us going, I can't believe that Christian is dead. He didn't die overnight. The devil ain't going to throw you in hot water. He's just going to put you in cold water and turn up the heat a little bit. Amen. God's telling us this in Genesis 3. Why are we surprised in December 2016? Straightforward denial. I mean, he's really going hard now. He started off just kind of twisting, taking out one word, questioning one command. Now he's bold. He got Eve eating right out of her hand, out of his hand, literally. And here he goes, straight forward. Ye shall not surely. Now, God's a liar now. You won't surely die. Listen, whatever God told you is not really true. And whatever God said he'd do to you if you did it, he ain't really mean it. Now, don't you tell me that the devil doesn't do that. Watch this now. It's not that bad to rob God. I mean, 1 week, good night. God owns the cattle of 1,000. What is your little bit going to do to hurt God? It's not about hurting God. It's about disobeying God. But one time is not that big of a deal. And by the way, here's the thinking of mankind. It's not wrong if we do it when God said not to do it. It's only wrong if we do it and get caught. Ye shall not surely die. Doubt. Distortion. Straight up denial. And then there's a strong draw. Look at what the devil said. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open and ye shall be as gods, lowercase, knowing good or evil. Look here. God is scamming you. Somebody tried to scam me today. I had a virus on my computer and it popped up on the screen. You have a virus. Please call this number immediately. Or if you know, so that you won't lose your information in this. He started to tell me, you know, this is what you need to do and type on this and get this program up, which will allow him to see my screen. And then once he gets there, he can find out what the problem is. And so I did what a wise Christian ought to do when you think you're getting scammed. You call a hacker. Amen. Ben. Amen. Ben said, turn your computer off and hang up. I did. Scam me. Here's what he's telling me. I'm going to help you. You give me access to your computer screen, and I'm going to help you out. Listen to me, beloved. The devil wants you to give him access to your life because he's lying to you that he's going to help you out. Now, watch this now. By telling you he's going to help you, he has to convince you that the God that made you and gave you every good thing you have is trying to hurt you. Don't you go into 2017 buying that cheap lie of the devil that God's trying to hurt you. Let me tell you something. God wants to help you. He wants you to help your marriage. He wants to help your children. He wants to help your finances. He wants to help your health. But he cannot help you while you are courting the devil. Say, Pastor, I thought I came to hear a Christmas message tonight. Well, good. Don't listen to the devil and you'll have a better Christmas. There's my quota for the night. Now, let me get back to what I'm really trying to preach on. Genesis chapter number 3. That's all. If you want to please the listeners, you just put that phrase for the webcast. Don't listen to the devil. You have a great Christmas. All right. Now back to what we really need. Some folk worried about what they're going to open up on December 25th, and they're going to already be victims before they get there. I'm closing. I think. Knowing good and evil. Let me close with this thought. The strong draw of Satan. But let's see when the devil truly got her biting the bait to sin. Verse 6, and I'll let you go home. By the way, write down 1 John 2, if you would, in your Bible. Love not the world, neither the things that are... Come on, talk to me. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. God, isn't God a great clarifier? He said, I'm not talking about the geographical locations on the globe. I'm talking about the society and everything about it. Don't be in love with the world. And don't love the things in the world, because let me tell you what's in the world. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And by the way, if I went to Matthew 4 and Luke 4 and show you the temptation of Jesus, I could show you the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And now I'm going to show it to you in Genesis chapter number 3. God is so clear. The devil is winning the game, but he's winning the game with the same lame strategy. And here it is in verse number 6. The woman saw that the tree was good for food. Everybody say lust of the flesh. Well, amen. Say lust of the flesh. And it was pleasant to the eyes. Say lust of the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise. Say pride of life. Hey Eve, let me get you. Let me get your flesh because you want to eat. Let me get your eyes because you like what you see. And let me get your pride because you think by eating it you're going to be good like God. And she bit it. Let's be careful, folks. Be careful around Christmas time, too. Because the devil is good at distortion, doubt, denial. Because all he's doing is setting up the draw. Maybe you need to run some tests on your own life right now and ask yourself, what has Satan convinced me to doubt God about? What little distortions, what little minor omissions and additions has Satan run in my heart that have me adding to or taking from what God plainly said? And now what is he denying? Oh, you ain't going to die. Okay. Flip the page. Let's see who turns out a liar and who turns out to tell the truth. May God help us. Man fell because he didn't believe what God said. And ladies and gentlemen, when you and I fall, we fall because we don't believe what God said. May God help us to take heed lest we fall. Our Father, help us. Well, the tempter stalks about us as a lion, searching for the slightest sense of blood. When the spirit of my resistance is weakened, he moves in swiftly to lay down the blow. God help us. The Lord of creation, hear your servant. You understand the weakness of man. May God, we rest in the truth of your word and know that you make no mistakes. For those of us who are being allured and lured, may your spirit motivate us and heighten our awareness that he's still at what he was doing from the beginning of time. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.